Speaking of Tralee Bay, did you know it's a great place to find rays, skates and sharks? Well, on a wet day recently, our researcher Michelle Brown met with Louise Overy, a shark expert and lecturer at the Munster Technical University. They talked about the importance of the bay as a nursery ground for rays, for skates and for sharks. And in particular, they went on the hunt for mermaids' purses.
Hello Louise, how are you?
Lovely to meet you, Michelle. Thanks so much for joining us here in Tralee Bay.
Where exactly are we?
So this is a lovely beaching camp just by Kilgobbin Church. And it's one of the beaches around Tralee Bay that we get a huge amount of skate egg cases. So I thought it was particularly fitting if we met you here.
Okay, Tralee Bay has been called the Serengeti of the Atlantic for when it comes to sharks and rays. Is that the case?
Well, certainly nationally we refer to it as the marine Serengeti. We've got so many amazing species out there, from stingray to the undulate ray to the angel shark. If you think of an underwater marine Serengeti, that's how we like to help people visualise what's going on. Just beneath that kind of grey, what looks a little lifeless surface of the water, it's really alive with so many species.
And how come we have it so good here in Ireland?
Well, Tralee Bay in particular, I suppose, it's quite a shallow, quite a sandy bay, in kind of sheltered bay with a really strong estuarine element. So all of those factors have really helped to support a lot of different habitats, which in turn support a lot of species. So everything from your seagrass to your forests of seaweed to your biogenic reefs, and then of course to the native oyster, which of course we'll talk about in a little while.
Has it to do with the fact that we haven't overfished here as well?
Yeah, so this area is really well respected. Locally, they know so much and they know about the diversity here, and they really want to protect it. And they really recognise it as being a really important nursery ground for all these species. And for a long time, the communities have worked together at a really local level to look after what they have on their doorsteps.
Now, you're an expert in this area.
I'm part of the wildlife biology team here in MTU Kerry, but I'm also vice chair of the Irish Elasmobranch Group and project lead of the Angel Shark Project. So I'm very, very passionate and always have been about our shark skates and rays, or as we call them, elasmobranchs, which is a bit of a mouthful. So the elasmobranchs refer to those species with cartilaginous skeletons. So if you think about what's in your ear that makes your ear strong and it's kind of flexible, that's what their whole skeletons are made of. So rather than a bony skeleton like that of your mackerel or your tuna, they have cartilage for skeletons instead. So that groups them all together, and it collectively, that would be our shark skate and ray species.
And how did you get in to sharks, rays and skates?
Well, I suppose when you're so lucky to live where you do, and where we live here in southwest of Ireland, I mean, it's amazing, from basking sharks to you name it. I had a really amazing encounter with a basking shark when I was much younger, and I was hooked. That was me forever. So
tell me about it.
So I was actually out kayaking when we saw three basking sharks, and one of them took a real interest in us and was coming, you know, around and right up, and it was just an amazing experience to see something so huge, majestic. I mean, they're the second biggest shark in the world, and we have them here off the Irish coast in good numbers ever since the history of the basking shark has changed. They're really coming back since the end of that fishery. But actually just recently they've been protected under the Irish Wildlife Act as well. So basking sharks have got an amazing amount of legislation to protect them now. And just to see how legislation can really support the recovery of these species as well.
Okay. Is there any species that you're worried about?
So I suppose one of the main species, which is really close to my heart, is the angel shark. So this is a project that I'm working on, the Angel Shark Project Island. So it's critically endangered all across its range. Its range has massively shrunk, estimates from somewhere to 50 to 60%. We've seen it shrink. The numbers in Ireland, just from an angling study done by Inland Fisheries Ireland, they've seen a 95% decline in this species. So it's an amazing shark. And when you think about sharks, you tend to think of, you know, like that, the basking shark, you know, quite big, free swimming in the middle of the water. But the angel shark is really unique. It's what we call a flat shark. So it's flattened in appearance, buries itself in the sand, and it doesn't really swim around apart from to move from one point to another. Instead, it just lies in wait and catches its prey that way. So it's a beautiful shark. I guess that's where it got its name from. It kind of looks like, I suppose, if you were to lie in the sand and make an angel, it would look just like an angel shark. Their local name, however, would be monkfish. So there's a bony fish called monkfish, and then there's the shark, so the elasmobranch species, also locally known as monkfish. So they are two different species.
Describe how big do they become?
A really, really large specimen would be 1.8 metres long, so fully grown. They're quite a significant shark, but their babies then would be about 20 to 30 centimetres, so you can imagine the length of a ruler. And they give birth to live young. But one of the problems with angel sharks, I suppose, is how long it takes them to give birth. So they might not become sexually mature until, you know, maybe in their first decade. So it takes them a long time before they become sexually mature. And then when they do, they might only have 7, maybe 20 pups. And they only do that, they think, every second year. So there's a lot of stuff we don't know about this species, but it does mean that if they suffer any impacts, it takes them a long time to recover, their population to come back up. So those really shocking numbers declines that we've seen, it will take a long time for us to see that population return, but I think we're seeing some positive hope, and particularly on the ground here with the local community. So,
are there any other species of ray sharks or skates that you're worried about?
Yeah, so I suppose my focus really here is in Tralee Bay, because it nationally it is such an important location. All of the studies, all of the analysis show that there's so many species all in the same place, and many of them coming in here to breed. They're leaving their eggs here to hatch, and their babies are then staying and then growing up before they become adults and head out. So it's really nationally very important as a nursery ground. So something really magical about this bay, and you know, all of those elements I mentioned earlier, from the seagrass to the oyster reefs to that kind of shallow sheltered bay, all of those factors are going to be supporting all of those little baby shark skates and rays.
Okay, when people are walking along the beaches now, they'll come across mermaid purses. Can you describe them? Can we find some? And can you tell me what they are?
Yeah, so a mermaid's purse, that's a great question, because it's one of the ways that we can identify where these skates and sharks like to lay their young. So a mermaid's purse is actually the egg case of a skate or some of the shark species as well that we have here in Ireland. So we actually have over around 73 species of shark, skate and ray in Ireland, would you believe? So that's a lot of species, and many of them lay egg cases. So some give birth to live young and others lay eggs. So just the same as a chicken egg, they'd lay a little egg case, and inside each egg case would be the yolk, and it would eventually hatch into a baby ray or a baby shark. So the egg case is different to that, of course, of your chicken egg. They're different in shape, they're kind of flattened, and locally most people would know them as mermaid's purses, because they look a little bit just like a mermaid would be carrying around her handbag. They're made out of collagen. So that it's a really, really tough protein. And if anyone's ever found them, they look a little bit like leather or a little bit like dried seaweed that you might walk clean over and not even notice. So the shark egg cases are quite easily identifiable by the kind of curly tendrils. They've got these really stringy, springy bits of tendrils coming off the top. And that's because the shark likes to spin himself around a piece of seaweed and wrap the egg case around the seaweed. Whereas the skate egg cases typically are flatter in appearance, with four kind of horns coming off of each corner, and that helps them to get tangled up in the seabed while they're hatching. Now each one of these egg cases could take anywhere from 4 to 10 months to hatch. So,
and is there one egg in every purse?
There is one baby inside each and every purse, yeah. So we did a survey here just this winter in 4 locations around this bay, and we collected over 5,000 egg cases, which is huge. So goes to show just how important an area it is as a nursery ground for all these species.
Will we look for some purses?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the best places to look for the purses would be up along the high tide mark. So what happens, particularly in the winter, is all those extra energy in the sea and all those storms are going to wash those empty egg cases up onto the beach for us to find. So up along the upper tide mark is a good place to start looking. So it's a fine day for ducks, huh?
Oh my god, the rain, it will never stop.
It doesn't seem to this winter, does it, in particular? It seems very...
Oh,
so there's one just here, just in the sand here. So it looks like it is. It's a thornback skate. So this is another lovely species. Thornback because he has, I suppose, thorns along his tail. So I suppose a lot of people, when they think of rays and skates, they think of stingrays. And we do have stingrays here in Tralee, but they don't lay eggs. They give birth to live young instead. So you can imagine little baby stingray pups out there. But this is a thornback skate egg case, so okay, great find.
And they're hatched?
Generally, when you find them on the beach, they're all hatched. They're light enough then for the sea to have washed them up. So every time you find an egg case, you can think that hopefully there is a little baby skate swimming around in the sea.
Yeah. If fishermen find them in their nets, do they tend to throw them back, or should they be throwing them back?
They do, and actually that's something that the Oyster Co-op are driving forward, is making sure that when they return them, they're returning them without air in them, so that they sink and they head straight back down to the seabed. So if they're disturbed, there's absolutely no problem, just to make sure that they sink and not float on the surface. They will sink back down again and hopefully complete their full incubation.
Tell me about the Tralee Oyster Fishermen Society.
Yeah, so they're really inspirational and what they've done, and they really recognise how important the place is and how magical it is. Everybody who lives here really knows just the amazing species that are out there. So they wanted to do something, and indeed, of course, they still wanted to be able to keep their fishery. It's a fishery, it's a really old fishery. It's been going for so many, many decades now. And it's really amazing to see that they chose and completely voluntarily chose to take on those amazing decisions to try and support the sustainability of their fishery and, of course, help conservation of all the amazing species in the bay.
And what can you tell me about oysters in the bay here?
The oyster that we have here is the native flat oyster. So unlike the oysters that you might be eating from, say, a restaurant, that's often a foreign oyster called the Pacific oyster. So the one that we have here is our native species, and indeed the all across Europe, the native oyster beds have been massively hit by disease or by overfishing. So the management of the oyster bed here has been fundamental to its longevity and the fact it's still there and it's still doing really well.
Okay, and when are the marine protected areas due to come in?
So the legislation is meant to be announced, should be this quarter. So it's going to be amazing to see all of these areas being designated for species diversity, for the habitats that are within them. And the amazing thing about MPAs is that we've seen time and time again that if an area is closed down and protected just like that, the benefits overflow. So although, say, fisheries might be restricted in those areas, you see a spillover effect, and it actually benefits the local fisheries outside of it, and all the species, of course, within it are doing much better. And those areas are also seen to be more, I suppose, climate resilient as well. So the effects of an MPA are huge.
Do you hear many stories of fishermen and women taking the initiative themselves? And is that the way forward, do you think?
Yeah, so that kind of community-led sustainability actions and the kind of conservation on the ground is so effective. And because you've got that real understanding, that real local buy-in, you've then got the local management, you've got the local enforcement, those areas are seen time and time again to be really significant and really effective.
Would you be positive about our marine environment? Are we in time to protect it and save it?
Well, if anyone knows me, I'm an eternal optimist. So I will always say that, you know, there's always hope. There is. And I think there's such a great atmosphere on the ground and everybody talking about it now. And I really think that all of the groups will come together to find ways to have a more sustainable future.
You sound very worried, though, are you?
Definitely. I mean, the numbers, as I mentioned, say, with the angel shark, you know, steep declines like that would just lead to local extinctions. The angel shark, for instance, is considered regionally extinct in the North Sea, just down to that same lack of management, lack of awareness. Whereas I think now there's a really good growing awareness of what we need to do and how we can do it and how we can protect them into the future.
Thank you very much indeed, Michelle Brown. More details, as always, on the website rte.ie/moon.